That's okay. I can't help but remember Paul's prayer where he says, I'm praying, right, that Christ may be firmly planted in you with his love. And that with all the other saints, you would come to know all the dimensions of his love, the height, the depth, the width, the breadth, the length. Why? Because then when you know the full dimensions of his love, his power will be working in you. Faith, belief is just going to be a fruit. And then, verse 20, we all know chapter 3, verse 20 in Ephesians, and God will be able to do exceedingly and abundantly what you can dare ask or think according to that power. What power? Love. He's just talking about love. You got to keep it in context. Removal of guilt, shame, and condemnation so we can move into a place of resting in his love. So the portion of scripture that the Lord led me into is found in Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And it's paralleled in Luke chapter 5 also, verse 20. But Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, this is the portion of scripture that I was led to. And it says, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. All right, it was proclaimed, it was announced that he was in the house. Now on another day and a time, I'll prove to you that the house that he was in was his own house. Do you ever wonder why? When the ceiling tiles were removed and the man was lowered, what that homeowner might have been thinking, or if that homeowner was upset or whatever. No, he wasn't. Jesus was the homeowner. It was his house. But anyway, that's for another day. And straightway, many were gathered together in so much that there was no room to receive any more. No, not so much as even at the doorway. And he preached the word unto them. I like the account of Luke because Luke adds, and the power to heal was present. The power to heal is always present. Okay? And then it says, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, right, all the amounts of people that were there, the doorway was completely jammed up. They uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And here we go. This is what we need to rightly preach. Because this is what will keep people in guilt, shame, and condemnation. Mm-hmm. If it's not. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Jesus perceived their faith. Jesus saw their faith. So you know what a lot of preachers will do? A lot of teachers will do? You need to have faith that can be seen. You need to burn all your bridges because once you burn all your bridges, then real faith is going to show up. You need to show you have faith. Your back is in pain? Go to work. It hurts to tie your shoes? Tie your shoes. You're in excruciating pain putting your socks on? Put your socks on. Healed men put their socks on without their wife's help. I never forget. Honey, do you need me to help you? No! I have faith. Can't you see it? Can't you see it? Jesus saw their faith. Jesus needs to see my faith. You don't understand this. It's going to get you in trouble. Yes, indeed, faith can be seen. Yes, indeed, faith can be perceived. But here's what the Holy Spirit told me. But what can be seen isn't always faith. Very important. Very important. You see, visual is important. Visual is important because faith without works is dead. So, faith becomes energized when we hear. Faith becomes energized. It worketh when we receive God's love. So what good is the faith if you can't see it at work? Faith can be visual. But more importantly, see, here's the most important aspect of faith. More importantly, faith is spiritually perceived. I'm going to give you another example. If you're following me along, we're going to be looking at different scriptures. Go to Acts chapter 14 real quick. Acts chapter 14, and we're going to be looking at verses 9 through 11. Acts chapter 14, verses 9 through 11. Paul's preaching. This is really important. Verse 8, and there sat a certain man at Lystra. He was impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak. What was Paul speaking? Paul was speaking the gospel. That's all Paul spoke, the gospel. The power of God for salvation, the power of God for healing. So Paul is speaking, who steadfastly beholding him, this man that was crippled, was beholding, this man was impotent, he was crippled, Paul was speaking. Now it says, Paul steadfastly beheld him. Do you know that word behold there is the same word that's used for saw in Mark that I just read? Jesus perceived, right? It's the same word. Here it says, Paul was steadfastly beholding him, steadfastly perceiving him, okay? And perceived that he had faith to be healed. It's very important. And after perceiving that he had faith to be healed, he said, stand upright on your feet. And he leaped and he walked. So now when you go back to Jesus, it's not just the visual that was taking place there, but it was the spiritual perception. Spiritually, Jesus perceived that they had faith. And their faith was causing them to act. All right? But now remember what I said. Yes, indeed, faith can be seen, perceived, but what can be seen isn't always faith. Now, we're going to go back and we're going to look at what happened to this paralytic and his brothers before they came to the house, before they climbed up on the roof, before they took the tiles away, and before they lowered their brother before Jesus. What took place prior to Jesus perceiving their faith? Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. If you're marking these down for future reference, verse 22, verse 27 through 28, verse 32 through 34, verse 38 through 39, verse 41 through 42, and verse 45. Now let's just see what it says. This is all leading up, Mark chapter 1 to Mark chapter 2. Now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee, okay? What did he do when he was in Galilee? Preaching, 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 teaching, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom, okay? Saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority not as the scribes. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For what authority does he command even the unclean spirits? And they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. And at evening, when the sun did set, they brought to him all that were diseased, all that had sickness, all them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And he said unto them, now let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, that I may speak there also the gospel of the kingdom. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach. For therefore came I forth. This is what I came for. And he preached in their synagogues, and he preached throughout all Galilee, and cast out all devils. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and said unto him, this is about the leper, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into a city, but was without in desert places. But they came to him from everywhere. So this is what happens just before the paralytic with his brothers. Preaching, teaching, announcing the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, sight to the blind, the captives being set free, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing everybody. So important. So important. You might say, okay, let's look at another portion of scripture. I hope this is all going to make sense. Nina, you're going to let me know. Okay. All right? Another portion of scripture. Romans chapter 4, verse 20 and 21. Romans chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. Powerful. You can see this in the three brothers and the fourth one that was let down on the pallet. That was a paralytic. Romans chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. He was strong in faith. He staggered not. He was strong, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that he had promised what he had promised, he was able to perform. Powerful, isn't it? Mm-hmm. See, this is why your faith, you have to be fully persuaded. You have to be strong. You have to be convinced, just like those men were. But here's the thing. Faith that could be seen isn't always faith. Look at this portion of scripture. He staggered not at what? The promise of God. So what does that mean, guys? The promise of God came first. The word of God came first. He heard from God first. And then after that, strong, fully persuaded, totally convinced. It also says again, he staggered not at what? At the promise of God. The word of God came. The word of God always has to come. The word of God always comes first. Word from God always must come first. That's when real faith comes. Because if it's not, then it's only mental assent. Then it's only willpower. And many a believer is being convinced that they have to have faith that can be seen. So they're developing or determining up and calling up their own faith, which is nothing more than mental assent and mental belief. And willpower. Let me tell you something. You could do a lot with willpower. Mm-hmm. You could do a lot with willpower. Sometimes willpower will make you do crazy things. I'll never forget when Brandon was 10 years old. Remember when he was 10 years old? He first started playing basketball for his elementary school. He was in the fourth grade. I used to get so excited. He got so excited. They had to play everybody, okay? And this team had like 30 players. So the rule was you had to go in and you had to go out. So I never forget, my son Brandon is playing basketball on this team. And there's a stoppage of play and the coach sends him in, right? And he's so excited. He's going in, right? And then all of a sudden, there's another stoppage of play 32 seconds later. 32 seconds later. And he took my son out. But I understood because there was so many players and everybody has to get in the game. But for my son, it was an eternity. For my son, Dad, I played. He was so excited. So I determined for his 10-year-old birthday that I would buy him a basketball hoop, right, and set it up so when he came home off that bus, Dad would have that basketball hoop set up for him. Okay? So here's the power of determination. Remember? You don't remember how hard it was raining? It was a downpour. No man in his right mind would go out there in the rain, in the lightning, working with metal, okay, in an open field. He would wait the next day. Okay. He'd say, look, son, I got it. But you know, you see the rain. No, I had to get it done. I had to get it done. I determined. I had willpower. I determined. I set it up wrong. It wasn't set up right. It didn't work. But it was set up. I was determined, you know? My mental determination, my willpower, you know? You could do crazy things with willpower. And we have, right? We have. Yep. Mm-hmm. But that's not faith. Mm-hmm. And you have to be careful as you read this portion of Scripture that it's not determination, mental determination. It's not mental assent. It's not willpower. But it's the faith of God that's birthed within. And when the faith of God that's birthed from within causes you to do something, and it's visual, right? Miracles follow. Miracles take place. But the frustration comes in from when we're trying to determine and we're trying to make it happen, or we're saying we have willpower or we have faith when it's not. It's only our own soulish and mental believing. Does that make sense?
Yep. Yes.
So you see, in just reading this portion of Scripture, you might not see that. But if you read what took place before, you understand. You understand what took place. Faith can be seen. But what's being seen doesn't necessarily mean it's faith. Because there's only one way faith comes. It does not come from your determining. It does not come from your willpower. Do you understand that? That's important. Okay? You know, I remember living on that fact. Well, real faith doesn't show up until I burn all my bridges. So I'm going to burn all my bridges. I need to give up this. I need to give up this medication. I need to stop going to this doctor. I need to stop doing this. I need to stop because I need to show I have faith. Did God tell you to do that? Did you hear the voice of God? Did you hear the instruction of God? Because if you didn't, it's not faith. It's determination. And I'm going to tell you something, Dan. It breaks my heart. The messages I get from people with messages like this. You know what they tell me? Pastor, why couldn't you preach this a year ago? My husband might still be alive. Because he cut everything off to show he had faith. There's two kinds of faith, guys. There's mental assent and mental determination. And there's the real faith, the fruit faith that is birthed from within. And that's a fruit that we can't produce. It's a fruit that is produced when we understand his love and we understand our righteousness. Self-determination, power of the will, very strong, but that's not faith. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because the gospel of Christ is the power of God for salvation to everyone that believes. The power of God. The power of God to salvation. What's salvation? Lori, what's salvation? Healing? Wholeness? Wellness? Rescue? Redemption? Protection? Provision? And so remember what we read from Mark chapter 1? Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. He preached the gospel. He preached the gospel. He preached the gospel. He taught the gospel. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. That word was being preached. And that word is the power of God for salvation. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. This is what took place in that paralytic with his brothers. This is what took place. This is what always has to take place. This must supersede mental assent and mental willpower. Because what is seen isn't always faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, what does it say? So then faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the words about the Christ. If you have God in there, cross it out and put Christ there. Because in the original manuscripts, the most reliable manuscripts, it's talking about the Christ. And that's perfectly in line with what Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. So in chapter 10, verse 17, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the words of the Christ. Now, you know what's amazing? That word by. It's a small two-letter word, right? Well, it's a small two-letter word in the Greek, too. Now, when I was in high school, I fell asleep during word power. During my grammar classes. I mean, I just passed. I just passed by the skin of my teeth, you know? But I didn't excel. Why? Because I fell asleep, you know? I didn't know. Do you guys know what a primary preposition is? No. Do you know what a primary preposition is? This is the definition of a primary preposition. Why is that important? Because this word by in the Greek is a primary preposition. Nick, you're nodding. You know what a primary preposition? Oh, okay. Here it goes. Primary preposition denotes the relationship between the words in the sentence. What does that mean? By the point of origin where the motion or action proceeds. But what does that mean? Faith cometh by. The point of origin is the hearing. The primary preposition is the faith and the hearing. And it comes by. Comes by. Faith comes by hearing. That's amazing. The point of the origin of faith is in the hearing. And it never changes. Remember Abraham? Fully persuaded? Strong? Not wavering? Why? Because of what was promised him. What was told him. What was spoken to him by God. Faith always comes by. The point of origin of faith is in the hearing about the Christ. It never changes. Galatians chapter 2, verse 3 and verse 5. This only would I learn of you. Have you received the Holy Spirit by the works of the law? Or by the same word, the hearing of faith. The hearing of faith. He therefore that ministered to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? That word hearing is akoe. It's the sense of the thing heard. It's the report. It's the preaching. So here again, Paul is saying, have you received your healing? Have you received the Spirit by working or by doing? Or by mental assent, or by mental determination, or by hearing the report, by hearing about the Christ, by hearing the words of the Christ. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. For in Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Faith which worketh by love. That word worketh is energeo. That's where we get our word energy from. And it means to be active and efficient, to be mighty in. Mighty faith, active faith, energized faith is a fruit of love. Will you be able to see it? Yes. But remember, faith that is seen isn't always faith. What's the whole point? The whole point is stop trying to create. Stop trying to create. Stop thinking you have to create. Stop thinking that you have to do. Stop thinking that it's up to you. It's up to your willpower. Stop. 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 It's a fruit. Fruit that comes by hearing and comes with love. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 and 28. This is all, right? Chapter 1 in Mark tells us what's going on in the area. Chapter 2 lets us know what's going on in the area, you know, and then it's leading up to chapter 5. Chapter 5 is where Jairus comes. Why do you think Jairus came to Jesus? Jairus came to Jesus for the same reason that these men came to Jesus. He heard. He heard. He heard about all the miracles. He heard about all the healing. Now his daughter's sick, right? Going to die. Okay. Faith, right? I got to get him. I got to get him. I got to get him because that's how my daughter's going to live. See, faith comes by hearing. Mark chapter 5, verse 27 to 28. This is the woman with the hemorrhage, right? Right? If I just touch the hem of his garment. Oh, and she, you can see her faith. She walked, she crawled on her knees to get there, right? She had to crawl. And she had to be careful not to touch anybody, because if she touched anybody, they would become unclean. She was supposed to yell, unclean, unclean. So, you know, she was breaking the law. She was in stealth mode. She's trying to get to Jesus. Because if she touched the hem of his garment, because she said it. So you know what? I know you have faith. I know you have faith. You know why? Because you're saying it. Because you're speaking it. No. No. Can that be faith? Yes. But is it always faith? No. Many times it's mental assent and many times it's willpower. We want it to be faith. Look what it says here. Mark chapter 5, verse 27 to 28. When she heard. Do you hear this? How important that is? When she heard of Jesus. Hearing always comes first. Faith cometh by hearing. Remember? When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind him and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. Faith cometh by hearing. We put so much emphasis on the doing and not enough on the hearing. Now I want to show you the difference between why something that you see isn't always faith. And we're going to use Peter as an example, okay? I love Peter. He reminds me of me. You know, always jumping out of the boat. Always jumping out of the boat. And then realize, there's sharks in the water. So anyway, Matthew chapter 16, verse 16 through 17, and 22 through 23. And Simon Peter answered and said, this is when Jesus was saying, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? Some say John the Baptist. You know, some say the prophet. Who do you say that I am? And here goes Simon Peter, man. Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ. And the word Christ means the anointed one with the anointing. So Simon Peter said, you are the anointed one with the anointing, the Son of the living God. And what did Jesus answer? Jesus said unto him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, here we go. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. It was spiritually discerned. It wasn't through mental assent. It wasn't through willpower or self-determination. Okay? So now look. Then Jesus is saying, okay, listen, this is what's going to happen. The Son of God, that's who I am. He's going to suffer, you know, a lot of pain at the hands of many people. And what Peter said, no, may it never be. No, may it never be. Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Do you know that Peter was acting in faith? Do you know he was acting in faith? His faith was Jesus was the Messiah. His faith was Jesus is going to destroy, you know, Rome, overturn Rome, and bring order back and set up his kingdom. He was operating in faith. You could see this faith, right? But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me. Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that are of men." I'm getting myself in trouble by saying this, Lori. If it's not real faith, the fruit, faith fruit, from hearing, from recognizing his love and your righteousness, and its mental assent, and its self-determination and willpower, isn't that same thing as I will not frustrate the grace of God? Right? And so, could Jesus be saying, that's an offense to me? That's an offense to me. John chapter 18, verse 6. Powerful. And verse 10 and 11. Hope you guys listen to the podcast and go back and listen to the message again, because there's a lot in it. I give you a lot. Right, Laura? I give him a lot. She says too much. I don't give you near what's in here.
I think you give us the right amount.
Okay, good. Thank you. Give me a high five. All right, here we go. Listen, John 18:6 and verses 10 to 11. As soon then as he had said this to them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. You remember? They came looking for Jesus. And he said, I am. And immediately 600 soldiers, bang, all fell to the ground. And so Peter, he shows his faith. Peter was acting in real faith. Not real faith, but real faith. Right? Mental assent, self-determination, willpower. And so now, he's got faith. This is the Messiah. He is going to restore order. He is going to defeat Rome. Look what just happened. And so what does he do? Boom, the time is right. And he whips out his sword in faith and cuts off the ear of Malchus, the high priest's official or servant. And then Jesus just blows Peter away. Peter, that's not faith. That's mental assent. That's willpower. That's self-determination. That's not faith. You see, that's not what you heard from my Father. That's not what you heard. So if you haven't heard it, Peter, it's not real faith. Guys, do you understand? Do you see what I'm getting at? Is it making sense?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, because I was wondering if it was making sense. I'm even wondering if it's making sense to me. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put the sword away. The cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it? Peter was devastated. Why? Because he was acting in faith. And you see, we become devastated when we, quote, I'll put this down, when we act in faith. But it's not the faith that cometh by the hearing, or the faith that is birth and the fruit of his love. You see, faith that can be seen isn't always real faith. Hope this is making sense. Faith, yes, faith can be seen. Faith can be fully persuaded. Faith can be strong, and faith can be mighty. In fact, it should be. It should be. But what can be seen isn't always faith. Eyes and ears must be on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and completer and finisher of faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing about the Christ. Eyes and ears on Jesus. Eyes and ears on Jesus. Resting in his love. Real faith will simply spring up and will be a fruit And yes, when that happens, you should be able to see faith. Faith in action. So my whole purpose, I believe the Holy Spirit's whole purpose in this message is don't get sidetracked with actions and believe that your actions and your self-determination and your willpower is the same as God faith. You see, going back to that portion of scripture, they heard. They heard everyone was being healed. So if everyone was being healed, why not you, my brother? Faith was birthed, and once faith was birthed because of what they heard, real faith, the fruit of real faith, caused them to act. Never forget that. Amen?
Amen.
Was it okay?